हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके, श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 24 द 61 एक्सप्लेनेशंस ऑफ द आत्मरामा वर्स 224 170 टू 172। Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who have thus unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon." 45. This is a quotation from the Naradiya Purana. The word cha may be used in place of api, which gives emphasis to something. Thus, it means that without sincere endeavor and devotional service, one cannot attain love of Godhead. Devotional perfection is very difficult to attain for two reasons. First, unless one is attached to Krishna, he cannot attain devotional perfection, even if he renders devotional service for a long time. Second, Krishna does not easily deliver perfection in devotional service. Right, so Lord Chaitanya is bringing out the point of endeavor, that you're trying, you're sincere about it, and even despite obstacles and setbacks, you're still determined and focused on Krishna. That pleases Krishna. That means you are very determined, because we see in his pastimes, if he gives himself, he means he's giving himself. It's not that, he may not. He's not a conditioned living entity. He's beyond all that. So if he agrees to connect, that means then, the devotee is fully surrendered. How will we know the devotee is fully surrendered? Because then Radharani will recommend them. How will Radharani recommend them? Because then they've gotten the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu and the other associates like this, and got down the line to the Acharya. And so then in this way, then we see is that when you work very nicely, that pleases the devotees, pleases the spiritual master, that pleases the parampara, pleases the associates of the Lord, pleases Krishna. So the idea is that one is making that endeavor. It's not just you do for a short time and then that's it. It means that if you want an eternal result, you're committed to an eternal endeavor. And that itself, then immediately everything works out. So it's just a matter of our sincerity. Srila Prabhupada, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18, Muktim Dharati Karhi Chit, Srila Sugadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikit that Krishna readily grants liberation, but does not readily grant perfection in devotional service. This means that Krishna wants to see that a devotee is actually sincere and serious, and that he does not have ulterior motives, right? Because otherwise, if he's worshiping very nicely Krishna, but there's an ulterior motive, These motives have to go. Like you see, Dhruva Maharaj has that ulterior motive, but then he gives that up and then takes to pure devotional service. If this is the case, devotional service can be very easily successful, right? If there's no ulterior motives and he's sincere, actually sincere and serious. Otherwise, it is very difficult to attain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So gaining the Lord's devotional service will be difficult to obtain if we're not actually sincere, serious, and have no ulterior motives. This verse appears in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.35. 224.173. How do you say parentheses in the back of 35? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me." Verse 46, this quotation from Bhagavad Gita 10.10. So this is from the Chatur Shloki of the Bhagavad Gita. So he'll give that intelligence, the one who's, you know, always constantly devoted. And Krishna gives the gives that intelligence, how they can come to him. He'll give the understanding. So we see here as Krishna's making the point of constantly devoted. So we say actually sincere and serious means it's constant. Because otherwise, if sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, then you could say it's not necessarily so serious. Or, you know, sometimes it's sincere and they're very sincere, and then other times they're not. So we're going to say actually sincere and serious. That means then who is constantly devoted to serving me with love. Right? So that means that's why there's the imperative aspect of that one should have the understanding that one has to move forward to the Madhyama platform. Yes, you can remain on the neophyte platform and maintain one's attachments to one's material particular desires, you know, which generally most people know, okay, well, that's not so good. You know, sense gratification, yeah, that's not so good. Okay, family and that, yeah, it's not so good, but, you know, it's going to be there. But then what about our ideas of making a perfect material world, our social issues, our economic ideas, our ideas of a perfect society, you know, heaven on earth, goodwill to all men, you know, that kind of aspect, you know, based on the principle of just people behave nice, then the world will become a nice place, you know, because people are materialistic. That's why. So if they give up that materialism, then it'll be a nice place. When it's actually, no, it's when they give up material consciousness and take up Krishna consciousness, then it will be a nice place. Because it's Krishna's place. So if Krishna's in the center, everything's nice. But if everybody just gives up being self-centered, that still won't make it nice. It may make it pleasant and sentimental, but the point is you still die, and then what? Maybe you'll come back as another sentimental human. Or maybe you'll become some animal who is kind of sentimental. You know? So that's the whole thing. It's not that, oh, it's all that. The animals, it's tough because they are, you know, they're always looking out for themselves. So they always have to be aware. But you see, there's many animals that if you get past that point and they become tamed, they just won't leave you. They'll always be around you. You can't even go do anything because they're always there. You know, so that means they have that sentiment. They're willing to interact and be part of the scene and all that, you know, even though they might be, you know, a bird or some other furry rodent or, you know, something like that. So that's the whole thing is that there is, you know, I mean, look at, you have a whole colony of rats. It doesn't say a couple of rats, a family of rats. It says a colony. Colony means big. That means, and they have their hierarchy, they have the whole thing, you know, so there's a lot of sentiment there. You know, think about ants. They have a queen. Who doesn't like queens? You know, there's always that sentiment towards the queen, you know, queen and hive, you know, like that. So don't worry, there's plenty of animals that have that, just that you don't see it because if you're around and you're very big, then they feel afraid. And so therefore, you're not seeing that nice, sentimental, pleasant side. Right? So we have to understand is that, no, we have to be willing to give up that platform as a neophyte. Willing to give up and be constantly fixed in Krishna's service. Then we see Krishna then sees, this person is serious, right? And that's what Prabhupada's expecting, that one takes initiation, you know, a second initiation, and that establishes you on the platform of fixed devotional service, because the idea is you're steady, and now you're properly connected and all that, and so then one should continue like that. And if one does, then that's glorious, and we see Krishna reciprocates that. But we have to understand it does take endeavor. Otherwise, we see we put in a lot into, oh, no, we have to endeavor to do all kinds of organizational things, but we don't necessarily make any endeavor for Krishna consciousness. You know, of course, by our conditioning, we can say but we've never experienced that. Right? You know, you're going to school, you know, you're being trained in so many things. You have job training, you have all different kinds of things. You go to the military, there's training, all these things. There's so much training. But you know, church is something that you go to, or you know, your place of worship, you go once a week, you know, you try to behave yourself, sit there through whatever it is, and afterwards smile at everybody, walk out the door. And that, they just take it, it'll happen automatically. You have to go to school, but there's no formal way of training people in behavior, you know, God consciousness, what is culture, how to deal. And so then we take these things, these actually higher principles. In other words, occupation, the varna side, we take very seriously. The ashram side, where's the training? Right? We're talking about, you want to be a leader in ISKCON, you have to go to a school, you know, and do your papers in that. Is there any kind of training if someone wants to be a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas? Yeah. So that's the thing. Is that, and so in the same way, we just take it that Krishna consciousness just happened. We do this, it'll happen. In one sense, yes. You know, if we have that sincere, you know, mood and actually sincere, serious, and has no ulterior motives, yes, it will come forward very nicely. But the point is if we're aware of this, it goes even quicker. So when we have that desire that we want to move forward in Krishna consciousness, then we'll see that everything starts to function very nicely.
Maharaj,
Yes.
can we say that the course that you are given is like a training?
The course.
Yes, since
The course we're
2016.
giving means now this course.
Now, yes, since 11 years, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure how else you would classify a 12-year course. You know, that has 4 hours a day of classes other than educational.
Yes, at least it's classes.
Yes, no, it's
And there is a
classes.
work. There is a work.
That's why that's see, that's the difficulty with others, you know, that come from more of the modern education and more of the empiric path, is that this course won't necessarily be as well understood or appreciated.
Yes.
Because we don't have a set, you know, okay, in this many days we'll do this stuff. We just expect at the end of a year we'll have done this much stuff.
Yes.
You know? Because the point is it may be like this. We've had times where we open the page, we just start to summarize what we went through before because there's an important point. We never even read anything new. Questions come up, we keep going from previous material.
Yes.
Or we might get in a paragraph, and sometimes we've done 20 pages. So
Yes.
you never know, you know, what it'll be. It just depends on the audience and how they're responding, how the students, what their mood is, and everything like that. You know, so the idea is that you're discussing it so that it's understood. It's not, see, because most individuals, unless they went to possibly a private school, you know, I'm not going to comment on that. But if they went to a state school, then there's every chance that the teacher simply introduced the subject in the classroom and you're going to study it at home as homework. So the teacher actually doesn't teach you.
Yes.
And then they give the grades and they expect you have to follow it. But there's no, let's say if in your state school, half the class fails. You know, they'll look for something. They didn't do homework. They did this. You know, they're coming from families that are broken families or this or that. Why not just the teacher didn't teach?
Yes.
I know one devotee was telling me when he went to one of the top schools in India. Or at the time, it may have, yeah, one of the top schools in India. So they had, even though it was secondary school, everybody had to be a professor. All the teachers were professors. You know, because professors may, they don't mind talking more and going into things more because they're not trained that you got to get through things like this. So then, and they had, you know, good facility. They each had their own house. They had their own car. They had, you know, everything was taken care of for them and they were paid very well. But if at the end of the term, the students were failing, he was fired.
Yes.
And because it's the best school, I'm sure that there's a big line of professors who would love to come and teach there. So that was the whole thing. It means you were graded, but the teacher was also.
Yes.
And they see, are they getting through? Or are they like this? And so then that's the position. So one has to see is that the teacher has to put in the effort to that people study,
yes,
that people understand. So that's why we keep going through until everybody's comfortable with it. And then we move on. And then we see these points come up again and again, and it's not like, oh yeah, we already discussed that. But now you discuss it, it goes to a deeper level. You know, like before, so many of these technical points Jiva Goswami is mentioning, then they were like, you know, where did these come from? And now it starts to be as these are part of the way that we can understand and think. It's not something esoteric, it's something very practical, especially when you see that understanding these points, then you would be inclined towards pure devotional service, and not, you can get distracted by so many of these things. Because before, you might think that these social issues that come up in ISKCON, that they're coming up from, you know, a sincere effort to try to improve the quality of the society. But if you actually look at it, they're coming up simply from people's purva samskar, their past, you know, impressions. Technically, they're the exact same issues that the same people were jumping up and down about in the 60s. Literally. Before they joined, they were pumping their arms and demanding these things. Then they became devotees, they got into that and this and that. And so, so many things have advanced, but Krishna, you know, when we say pure devotion, means nothing left. So at some point you have to address these little, you know, things in the, you know, like when you got your teeth, you got a toothpick, you got to get in there and get, you know. Yes. So then they come up, and so then they have to be, see, okay, this is one of those things, and just let it go.
Yes.
But if you make it into an issue, then you either give it up or you come back to, you know, be out there with your bandana and you know, your hands in the air and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's nothing new. I'm just going by because that's what was going on then. But I'm saying you go back a few hundred years, you know, then the people are doing the same thing, right? You know, liberty, fraternity, equity, the same thing.
Yes.
You know, and so it's always been going on. That's the point. When you have the material world, you're always going to have these dualities, and material energy can't reconcile these, right? It means inconceivable is in the internal potency. The external energy is conceivable. You know, here it is.
Yes.
You know, so it can't reconcile these things. But the internal potency, it's inconceivable oneness, and so it can reconcile. And so therefore, on the spiritual platform exclusively, that's the only place where you can work out all these things. There is no other place. You can think, no, but if we work together, we can be nice. And that. No, it's still. Then it'll be, oh, we're working together. Why no one else is working together? We're better, they're worse. And again, now you've just created a new thing. Before it's like these few people are fighting, then you get them unified, then they'll fight with another group. And if you get them more together, okay, then you have a community, they'll fight with another community. Okay, you get the communities all together, you have a nation, they'll fight with another nation. And even you get all those together, the whole planet's together, they'll fight with another planet. The demons are on their planet. You don't hear the demons fighting with each other, and they come up and take over Indra's planet. That's just the way it goes. Fortunately, because there's enough layers on the universe, no one's trying to go to the next universe and take over. Right? You know? Like that, you know. So it's just, we have to be very careful. So it says can very easily be successful. If this is the case, devotional service can very easily be successful. Otherwise, it's difficult. So in other words, you're trying your best to actually be sincere, you know, try to be stable in your devotional service, not have ulterior motives. That's what your aim is. That's what your consciousness is. Even you haven't attained it, just that itself is pleasing because what you're trying to obtain is that. Right. And then these issues, you know, how you say impurities come up. Maybe you see them yourself. Maybe someone else has to mention. But in some way, you become aware, you let them go, or just by you continue in the service and you become purified. And so then, you know, everything works out. So like that, it all happens. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. 224-173. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me." Footnote 46. This is a quotation from the Bhagavad Gita 10.66. No, excuse me. That's so much. See the conditioning? I said 1066 instead of 1010. I was thinking 1066. Oh, okay, wow, that's cool. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. I said, no, it's not.
I think.
Yeah, I mean 1866 is a very important, but not 1066. Maybe I was looking at you, and so then I was 1066, right? Okay. Hare Krishna. We're busy right now. Ekane Kajapsa. Kajapsa. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Another meaning of Atma is Driti, or endurance. A person who endeavors with endurance is called Atmarama. With endurance, such a person engages in devotional service. The word Muni also means bird and bumblebee. The word nirgranta refers to foolish people. By the mercy of Krishna, such creatures contact the sadhu, spiritual master, and thus engage in devotional service. Quote, "My dear mother, in this forest, all the birds, after rising on the beautiful branches of the trees, are closing their eyes and, not being attracted by any other sound, are simply listening to the vibration of Krishna's flute. Such birds must be on the same level as great saints," right? So then they're also known as munis and everything. Okay, Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.14. This statement was made by the gopis who were lamenting in separation from Krishna and studying how the inhabitants of Vrindavan were enjoying life like saintly persons. 224-171. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "O good fortune personified, O original personality of Godhead, all these bees are chanting about your transcendental fame, which will purify the entire universe. Indeed, they are following your path in the forest and are worshiping you. Actually, they are all saintly persons. But now they have taken the form of bees, although you are playing like a human being. They could not forget that you are their worshipable deity." Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.15.6. Krishna and Balaram were just on the verge of boyhood and were entering the forest of Vrindavan when Krishna began to offer prayers to please Balaram. Yeah, so he's saying here birds and bumblebees, that they also known as the word Muni, because it's saying that the birds and the bumblebees, and they're so absorbed in Krishna's flute and everything and meditation and deep meditation, just like the great sages are, right? So here he's bringing out another aspect of how they're absorbed in meditation, right? You know, how someone is absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Lord. Right? So it's not just before you had the different kinds of personalities who are attracted, but here is how then they become very absorbed like that. 224, 178. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, All the cranes and swans in the water are being enchanted by the melodious song of Krishna's flute. They have approached and are worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full attention. Alas, they are closing their eyes and become completely silent. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-11. In the day, Krishna went to the forest of Vrindavan, and at that time the gopis, being morose due to separation from him, were lamenting in this way. So they're seeing how all these different living entities are also absorbed in Krishna, and how, you know, in this way, it means for them that is their service, and they're so fortunate and all that. But the gopis, unless they feel, you know, they want to spend that time with Krishna and all that, so then they're lamenting in separation. Because we have to remember, someone in Shantaras never feels separation like that. And so, because they see everything connected to Krishna. But we do see the aspects of that when the Krishna and the cowherd boys are coming from Vrindavan back to Nandaga, then all the birds and animals and everything, you know, they also follow along with Krishna and Balaram and the cows. And so then when Krishna goes into Vrindavan, they're on all the trees that are there because they like to be with the, you know, the pastimes. And then when Krishna and Balaram go into Nandagaon, then since they were there, they just stay in those trees. And then in the morning, when Krishna and Balaram come out to go to the field, then those same birds and animals and all that, then they'll just go with Krishna and Balaram back out to the forest like that. So it's not that they don't appreciate being around the Lord. Like you see, the four Kumaras, even though they had that aspect, they want to go see the Lord. So it's not that they don't like it. It enhances, but they are, because that's the person in whom they're appreciating, you know, in every aspect. Right. So, but it, so you'll see, but they're, you know, they're lamenting how they're, you know, so absorbed in Krishna because Krishna is so attractive, so beautiful. And so they're just discussing about Krishna's beauty and attractiveness amongst themselves. And in so doing, then they're glorifying all these nice devotees. 224-179. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Kiratas, Hunas, Abha, Andrans, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Shumbas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasha races, and even others who are addicted to sinful activities can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2:4-18. This verse was spoken by Sukadev Goswami when Parikshit Maharaj asked him for a description of the creation. While offering obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sukadev Goswami described the unlimited potencies of Lord Vishnu, who can purify the low-born creatures mentioned herein. Right, so he has unlimited potencies. He's so attractive that he's able to attract even these low-born persons like that. So that makes, you know, so it gives these main ones that are known, your famous ones that, you know, Manu mentions them and where they're from and where they, you know, how things like that. Like the, I can't remember what's the in the south, what they are, but the Kashas, you know, then they have the aspect of the fallen Kshatriyas like that. And there's another group, I think maybe it's the Andrans. The ones in the south, the Dravidians, they're fallen Kshatriyas. You know, and so you have all these different positions where the main point of them all is they're addicted to sinful activities. Right? So, and, you know, so these group and even others who are addicted to sinful activities. So these are the main ones. And then ones that are even lower than this or more crazy than these guys. Like you'll see is the Andrans. For whatever their position, you know, how you say you have many, many major temples like Tirupati and some other temples in south, and you see that they're going there, even though they're these fallen groups like that, these tribals and that, they go and take darshan of the deities and everything like that. You know, they're very in that way. So they're attracted to devotional service. So then, you know, if they come in contact with the devotees, so in the same way as you're going to see that even other these other tribes and all that, then they'll be attracted like that. And so you see, it's that the West, you have all these different groups, these tribes and all that, and devotees are coming from all these backgrounds. And so then, they're coming that are addicted to all these sinful activities and all that, and they're coming forward, they're taking up devotional service. So it's not that, so that's the whole point, is Krishna is attractive to everyone like that. So it's not just, because you might say only the Atmaramas are attractive. No, everybody's attractive. The animals are attracted, the birds, those from sinful backgrounds are attracted. Then, the great intellectuals and sages and everything, they're attracted. And then who's saying all these prayers are the gopis. 224, 180 to 185. The word dhriti is also used when one is fully perfect in knowledge. When, due to having obtained the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has no material desires, he attains mahapurna, the highest level of perfection. Dhriti is the fullness felt due to the absence of misery and the attainment of knowledge of the Supreme Lord and pure love for him. Lamentation that accrues from not attaining a goal or from losing something already attained does not affect this completeness. Footnote 47. There's a verse found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.4.144. So the fullness that one has in being absorbed in the Lord, that fullness is not affected when anything goes wrong, within the material confines, or, something else, that whatever goes on, like you see, Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, when they lose everything, they don't lose their Krishna consciousness and their that the element of dhriti being that fullness, absorption in Krishna. They're just, because they're here performing pastimes, they have duties as Kshatriyas, and these duties they're unable to perform due to the cheating of Duryodhana, and he's not going to be as good a king, right? Means as far as the mechanics of being a king, then we don't hear of any complaints about his management. We only hear that the citizens complain because of his character. But as far as able to manage the kingdom, that he can do, no problem. Right? We see is that we don't hear that it was a disaster, the kingdom, after 12 years in the forest, it fell apart. No, it's perfectly fine. His ability in politic, all these things, he's a very expert. But the problem is the people won't advance in spiritual knowledge under his protection. Right? Materially, things will go on. So it's up to them. If they personally are engaged, it will go on. Well, with Yudhishthira, they're inspired. They feel he's like a father. Duryodhana will be a king, but he won't be like a father to the people. So he'll be a good manager. But he's not a leader as such. The people don't find him to be a leader that they want to follow, but he can manage all that. So that's why one has to understand that it's not enough. The Krishna consciousness is the main thing. If that is working nicely, then everything will work well. And if it doesn't work properly, then there'll be a problem. Will be a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we see here is that they're absorbing their Krishna consciousness no matter what happens. So it's not a matter of personal problems or this or that. What the main problem is why is Duryodhana managing the kingdom when he's not the qualified one? Yudhishthira is here. He's the qualified one, right? It's not like we're in a position of, but with, what is his name? Venu, there was no king. And so then he was better than nothing, blind uncle's better than no uncle, right? And so then they put him in, and because he was the biggest rascal, he stopped all the small rascals from bothering all the people, right? Because if anyone's going to bother him, he's going to bother them, right? It's like that. So, but then when he starts bothering them over being God conscious, that's when the Brahmins go, okay, he stepped past beyond his usefulness. And then they removed him. like that. So we see is that the transcendental consciousness that absorption in Krishna, that satisfaction one has, you know, when one comes to that point of fullness, that Mahapurna, then there one is undisturbed no matter what happens in the material world. It just doesn't affect you, you know, in the way of it affecting your consciousness. You know, you may feel bad that things aren't going nicely, they could go better. But the point is it doesn't affect your Krishna consciousness. Right? A devotee of Krishna is never in a miserable condition, nor does he have any desire other than to serve Krishna. He is experienced and advanced. He feels the transcendental bliss of love of Krishna and always engages in his service in full perfection. Quote, yeah, so you hear when the Pandavas are in the forest, then they're very happy, going on pilgrimage, sitting with the Brahmins. And it's not a couple of Brahmins, there's hundreds of Brahmins with them. Right? Because they had a plate that could feed thousands, you know, at unlimited people. So when they were in like Kamyavan, and that thousands of Brahmins would be there. You know, because if you're getting something to eat and you're in these auspicious places like that, then there's a lake there, you know, you're set. You have food, you have water, you can take your bath, you can wash your clothes. And then you spend your time there, you know, doing your worship and spending time associating with the Pandavas and the other Brahmins. But when they went on pilgrimage, where they go to all these out of the way places, then it was cut down, only a few hundred would go. So only the most austere and all that would go. I think then when they were going up to Gandamandana, then most stayed at one place and then they only went up with a few, or only with Domya. Like this, but the point is that they were always happy. So only now and again you see that Bhima and Draupadi get upset because the situation is wrong. Why? It's unjust, right? Wow. Somehow or another you've turned into Chinmay Saha. Okay, so. They are feeling that it's unjust, that why is he the king? But otherwise, for themselves, then they're fine. Like that. So, a verse. My devotees, having fulfilled their desires by serving me, do not accept the four kinds of salvation that are easily earned by such service. Why then should they accept any pleasures that are lost in the course of time? 48. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4, 67. Right, so they're fulfilled in their desires of Krishna. They don't want liberation, so why would they be interested in anything that's temporary? So you know, all these things are given up by them. Another quote. In this material world, all the living entities are disturbed due to their flickering position. A devotee, however, is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, the master of the senses. Such a person is to be considered situated in endurance and patience. The word cha is for emphasis. And the word api is used to indicate an aggregate. Thus is to be understood that even dull creatures, birds, and illiterates can also be situated in endurance and engage in Krishna's devotional service. So the qualification required that everybody can be. So we say, you know, even birds and illiterates. You know, and here what they mean by illiterate means doesn't mean that they necessarily, means it can mean they can't read. And so they can also be absorbed in Krishna, but it also can be illiterate, means they don't know the Vedic literature and the Vedic conclusions. So that would mean, you know, that can mean, you know, all our compatriots, you know, starting with Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, like this. That, or it can mean just, you know, a common person who's not well educated, like this. Or, you know, or it can just mean that they, you know, they don't know the Vedic, you know, how you say. So everybody can be attracted by the Lord, and everybody can be situated in endurance and engaged in the devotional service, right? So now he's bringing out this aspect, right? Because before it was about, what was it that were being brought out, about the, probably made the point here, sincerity, seriousness, no alternative motives, constantly devoted. Then here now we're bringing out that patience and the and endurance, right? Because endurance means it has to go for time. So that would be, so to be steady then needs, that means you have to have endurance, that you're going to be able to overcome all these things. 224, 186 to 90. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the word Atma is also used for a particular type of intelligence. Since all living entities generally have some intelligence, more or less, they are included. Right? So that means all living entities. Everyone has some kind of intelligence, and one who utilizes his intelligence is called an Atmarama. Right? So he's bringing out the different kinds of Atmarama, because it can mean, because we say about the Munis, so Munis can mean the birds, can also mean these illiterates, it can mean the bees, it can mean so many different things. So it's general form, we're talking about even the liberated souls, because we're counting them, and they can be attracted to the Lord, and they have no interest in anything material. Then naturally, then it would also include anything, any kind of Atmaramas below that. So just by using that one, standard translation, then that can include all the others. But if you want to get into details, and Lord Chaitanya is giving 61 explanations, and for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then he gave 18. There are two types of Atmaramas. One is a learned scholar and philosopher. The other is an uneducated, illiterate, foolish person, right? Because it said two kinds of people are self-satisfied, right? The Paramahamsa and the fool, right? By the mercy of Krishna and by the association of devotees, one increases his attraction to and intelligence for pure devotional service, right? Because you need intelligence to be able to identify pure devotional service. What is pure devotional service? Like that. So it takes, because intelligence means the ability to discriminate. So nowadays there's so much, no discrimination. But then the point is you have to be able to tell the difference between things. But you have to know is, that doesn't mean that there something's any more or less than another, but you have to be able to tell what it is. But now it's the anti-discrimination is taking the point where you can't even tell the difference. Someone is failing in their class and someone is doing excellent in their class, but you're supposed to see them equally and they both actually get the same opportunity. So that means the person who endeavors for the 4-point average, and then the person who's completely failing and all the teachers, you have to help. They both, in the modern way that they're trying to push everything forward, no one's moving up or doing anything by merit. It's all just by, you're trying to encourage everybody. That means somebody could come out of the, out of the secondary school and know nothing, and then go to university and know nothing. And then they would have the same opportunity to get a job, the same job as someone who all those 20 years, they all never got a lower grade. They never got below an A, because we're being equal. And so that lack of discrimination means now we're becoming unintelligent because we can't tell the difference between things of what they are. Where you unnecessarily tell a difference, where there's no need to tell the difference, based on particular bodily conditions and things like that, but it doesn't matter. The point is, if you have the merit to do the job, why should you care what their background is, right? If they have the character, they have the guna, and they have the karma, why do you care? That discrimination is unnecessary. But being able to discriminate who has what nature, therefore who can do what activity, you can't tell that, then don't be a leader. Don't try to manage things. You'll never be successful. And that means you'll just do a disservice for everybody else who's expecting leadership to make a prosperous environment, right? Does that make sense? Because they can't tell. Quote, I, Krishna, am the original source of everything. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my service with love and devotion. 49. There's a quotation of Srimad Bhagavatam 9. No, wait, this was. What was that? Oh, we're down here. 49. Quotation from the Bhagavad Gita 10:8. Quote, women, fourth class men, uncivilized hill tribes, hunters, and many others born of low families, as well as birds and beasts, can engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts very wonderfully, and follow the path of the devotees and take lessons from them. Although the ocean of nescience is vast, they can still cross over it. What then is the difficulty for those who are advanced in Vedic knowledge? Srila Prabhupada, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.46. Lord Brahma said this when speaking to his disciple Narada about the wonderful characteristics of Lord Vishnu. Simply by chanting the glories of Lord Vishnu, one can cross the ocean of nescience, even though one may be low born. Right? So the position of in the material platform, then you're going to see, depending upon their position, how they act and everything, like we said, their guna and karma, then there are certain activities they can do within the material environment. You know, material skills and things like that. Material, I mean, the mechanics of these things. You know, but everybody then can, no matter what their background, they can take up pure devotional service. So Krishna will, if they have that desire, he'll give the intelligence that they can tell the difference there. It still doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that now they have the intelligence to become a neuro brain surgeon or something, you know? And so what it means is that they can all become devotees. That's the wonderful thing about Krishna, is that it's the only universal thing that everybody can take part in, that you don't have to worry about guna and karma. Everyone can be a devotee. But a certain specific knowledge or skill, that then goes with somebody who has that particular kind of conditioning or that kind of ability. Right? So even within devotional service, you know, who's going to be the manager, who's the cook, who's this, that, all these things, then you see that, and then that becomes the principle. But the point is everybody can become Krishna conscious. Right? So when we say equal spiritual opportunity, this is the spiritual opportunity. To become Krishna conscious, to become, as you said, sincere, serious, what do you call it? Unmotivated, stable in devotional service, and what do you call it? Endure, you know, have that patience and endurance that anybody can have if they want. They can focus on that and they can gain that. But if you're dealing with the conditioned nature, then according to the nature, you have to see what qualities they have, right? And so then using that, they can use that in Krishna's service. That's the point. Equal means that it is everybody has the opportunity to engage their nature in Krishna's service. It doesn't mean everybody has the opportunity to do anybody else's conditioning. No, that's not the thing. You know, otherwise, then if you want, let's say you have a temple, there's 30 devotees in the temple. Put everyone on the list, you know. You know, like this, have the 30 different services that they all do. And, you know, every day just shift it one. Right? You know, so the temple president, now he becomes next day the head pujari, then he becomes Samkirtan leader, then he becomes the temple commander. Next day becomes, you know, the guy who does the Tulsi, you know, takes care of Tulsi. The next day he's the guy that, you know, does the marketing. The next day, and everybody else moves around and all that. You could do that, you know, if you want to say equal opportunity. Then let's do that. But then those who say, no, no, equal opportunity, they'll never agree to that. They want specific services that they can be in, and then they're fixed there. So it's not about equal spiritual opportunity. It's particular services, you know, according to guna and karma, they want to be able to do, even if they don't have the guna and karma. So we're not talking, we're talking about, as we said before at the beginning of the class, we're talking about a material, you know, social issue, an economic issue. that has been there that person's whole life. It didn't just come up now. It's been there their whole life. And so it's just so many other things have gone away. And so they have very little difficulty in so many other areas. They'll be very steady in so many aspects of the service. But this one, then that one has to be dealt with. That one has to be purified. So everybody, in other words, the ones that are less difficult, those are the ones that go away first. You know, and the ones that are more deep and all that may take a little longer. So these are just when if they still have them after 50 years, you know that it's a little deeper. You know, but if one keeps following the process and that, it'll go away. Because as it said, everyone from any background, then they'll all be attracted to Krishna. You know, from the Atmaramas who are very highly qualified in the Vedic knowledge, to the Atmaramas that are a little less qualified in the Vedic knowledge. You know, everybody can take up devotional service. So that's the beauty of it. And that because all devotees are meek and humble, therefore there's no problem where people are saying, you know, making it into political issues and, oh, you have this with this, and, you know, I'm so qualified, but you're overly, you just lose out on all that. Like that. You know, others might talk about it, but yourself, you wouldn't be the one chanting. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, it seems here that the definition of Atmaradma, it is for everyone. Everyone is Atmarama.
Everyone can be an aspect of Atmarama. No? It means everybody, in other words, from the Atmarama who's qualified from all the Vedic conclusions, yes, to the Atmarama who is satisfied because he's so absorbed in material things, he doesn't think of anything else, and he's not in anxiety about that.
Yes.
But now when you shift from one to the other, that's the place where you might feel a little anxiety.
Yes.
So in other words, if you were Atmarama before coming to Krishna consciousness, and now you're not, but you're aiming for, then you know there's a progress.
Yes. Yes.
Like Prabhupada said, the Paramahamsa and the fool, they're happy in the material world, right? Because the Paramahamsa is not in the material world, so he's happy. And the fool, he doesn't know anything else, so he's happy. But everybody in between, they feel the pinch of material nature. So, but as you absorb yourself in Krishna, then these things go away. You're not affected by material nature. So that degree, as we advance to that degree, we're unaffected. So that's the whole idea, is that anyone, so the point is anybody can become a pure devotee. That's the point. But we don't remain fools and think that we don't necessarily understand personal qualification when it comes to particular services. Does that make sense? That we're doing for Krishna. But that you can be engaged in hearing and chanting one of the nine processes for Krishna, that everybody can do, and they can all become steady and stable and come to pure devotional service. But you mean, does that make sense? You know, it's just like, why would you take the cook and have him fix the car, and the guy, the mechanic, the car mechanic, why would you put him in the kitchen? You know, and unless you like somebody deep frying pakoras in 40 weight oil, you know, then stick the mechanic in the kitchen, you know, and then the cook will be in there, and you know how you say while you're doing the car, you open the front, you know, wrap all the potatoes in, you know, the aluminum foil, stick them on top of the motor like that. And that, you know, like that. And then you drive for wherever you're going like that. And when you get there, then all the potatoes will be nicely cooked from the heat. You know, I mean, you can get these kind of interesting things. But the point is that, no, people have abilities. They do those. Some things everybody can do. Everybody can do kirtan. Everybody can take prasad. You know, I mean, it's chant and dance and the kirtan. These are what everybody can do. But other than that, specific things, certain people can do, certain people can't. Like, let's say, all devotees who have second initiation and that stableness and steadiness, they would be comfortable, let's say, doing an artik for on occasion or for a special occasion.
Yes.
But to do six artiks a day, every day,
yes,
day in and day out for the rest of their life, that's going to be only specific devotees can do. Right? You know, so you have to be able to see, you know, who does what. Like that, you know, and they have the attitude. Like I've heard some people, you know, complaining about, you know, the brahmacharis addressing the gopis and they don't know how girls wear cloth and all that. But then, okay, but then the lady who's saying it, okay, she knows how to wear a sari, but does she have the attitude to be a pujari? You know, because those pujaris, they go in there, they're humble, they take in their stuff, they do all this stuff, they go out. You know, ladies are there and someone hand them this and that and they need assistance and it becomes a whole thing. So, you know, do they have the attitude for it? You know, because if the standard for addressing the deities is knowing how to put on a sari, then, you know, you already have, you know, how you say, 4 billion people on the planet qualified, you know. Does that make sense? And nowadays in the modern environment, you might even have another, you know, few millions that we may say by cisgender is this, but actually they're that, you know, so like that. So whatever. But the point is there's more. That's why it's guna and karma, right? Means the karma is there. They can put on a sari, but is the guna there that they have the attitude to be a pujari? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. You know, so that those kind of things have to be looked at. That's the whole thing. One has to see that. That's why Krishna says guna and karma. Otherwise, nowadays, if you have the karma, you have the knowledge and the skill, you're qualified. But in the Vedic, you have to have the knowledge, skill, and the attitude. Right?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You know, it's just like if you have a Brahmin who's very humble and meek and stays out of the way and doesn't want any problems, you won't have a problem with that.
Yes.
But if you had a Kshatriya like that, that would be very annoying. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And vice versa. You know, so that's why it's guna and karma. Right? It's not just karma. Like that. So the whole point is that the guna and karma to be a pure devotee, that every living entity has, you know, by that association, then they can come up. But, you know, for performing one's duties, then there may be a difference in the guna and karma, who does what. And that's what the leadership is supposed to. Leadership should understand these and be able to engage different individuals according to you know, their particular ability. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Then 224, 191, 199. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, considering all these points, when one engages in the service of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna gives one the intelligence by which he can gradually progress towards perfection in service to the Lord, right? So Krishna will give, considering all this, then that means anybody who engages nicely in Krishna's service, Krishna will give the intelligence how they will attain perfection in service to the Lord. Right? And Lord Chaitanya quotes, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Footnote 50. This is a quotation from the Bhagavad Gita, 10:10. Right? Not 66. Right? To be elevated to the platform of devotional service, the following five items should be observed. Association with devotees, engagement in the service of Lord Krishna, the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chanting of the holy names, and residence at Vrindavan or Mathura. Right. So if these five are done, these are the main five. So we say is, well, you know, we generally are presenting this as worship of the deity, you know, with love and devotion, because within that you have the aspect of worship of the deity themselves. Either you are a pujari, you are doing worship in the temple, or you have deities at home or some worship at home that you're doing that. That's one aspect of service. The second is then during the or you're visiting and seeing, watching that. Right? It means that the, let's say the pujari is offering the artika darshanarti or mangalarti. Everybody who watches that gets the same benefit. That's the perfection of the system. Of course, in our mind, though, unless you personally do it, you don't get any benefit because you want to be able to control everything. Right? Because if I can control it, I get the benefit. So if I'm doing the artik, I'm getting the benefit. I'm not doing the artik, I'm not getting the benefit. That will be the mundane perspective. But the spiritual is that Krishna is being pleased with the artik, and the devotees are all there to see the artik. Right? So then that becomes pleasing to Krishna. Right? And so then that's there. So either you're doing puja in the temple or at home, or you're watching the puja in the temple at home. Like at home, somebody's doing the artik, and that, and the other members of the family are watching and doing kirtan, right? So they all get the benefit. Then you have during the day, you have your specific service for the deity. So when you're following the Pancharatrik system, then everybody's service is for the deities. You know, it may be at the temple. You may be a full-time pujari, so all day you do puja. You might be managing, you might be doing sankirtan, you might be going out and doing so many other kinds of things, or you're going out and doing your service, you know, where your occupation. And so then in doing that, then you're maintaining yourself or your family so that you can do the worship like this. So in this way, all that connects. So the point is that it boils down to it means there's service to the Lord. And our service to the Lord is regulated through Pancharatra. Right? Or if it's in, you know, outside of the direct kind of deity aspect, it's regulated by Varnashram. So, but the point is we'll be seeing that we're trying to do all these things to please Krishna. And then if you can see it connected to Krishna, then it takes on that quality of the Bhagavat, no matter whether it's a Pancharatrik or Vedic activity. So in this way, then these five, because everybody can do these, because you might be in a position where there are no temples or deity worship going on. And so then you're just doing service in the association of the devotees, right? So again, those ones, association with devotees, that everyone can do. Engagement in the service of Lord Krishna, that one can do. The reading of Srimad Bhagavatam can be done. The chanting of the holy names and residence of Vrindavan or Mathura, right? So that means is you're always living in a holy place. So that means you're living in the temple. You've made your home into a temple. You know, you're living in an ashram, someplace where everything's about Krishna. And so then that makes it, you know, that makes it that kind of a position. One's dormant love for Krishna gradually awakens if one is a little advanced in one of these five items and is intelligent. So even in one of these five means you engage in these five, then you're well situated. But even you advance that just somewhat in one of them, it still will give very, very wonderful results. So Lord Chaitanya, you know, and says of these, yeah, and is intelligent means you're trying to apply yourself to make everything go nicely for Krishna. Quote, the power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. Footnote 51. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.238. So you're not offensive. You're engaged in them. You're doing. You may not have faith in them. You're just doing because you're told to do. You know, but by doing that without offense, then you're going to advance. That's the wonderfulness of it. If a person is actually liberal and intelligent, he can advance and become perfect in devotional service, even if he has material desires and serves the Lord with some motive. right? He's liberal and intelligent means he's trying to, he's accommodating, you know, others. He's trying to see things in context of Krishna consciousness. But he has material desires, may have some motive that he wants to fulfill these desires, you know, but there'll be the ultimate thing where he's trying to, how do you say? Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya quotes here, whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge in the existence of the Lord, he's intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Right. So if he can do that, then he'll advance. Right. So as we saw before, Prabhupada said about being sincere, serious, and unmotivated. So that means you have to come to that unmotivated position. But you might start in a motivated position. You might want fruitive results, or you might want liberation. But at some point, you know, then that will be given up. Like we see the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He started out, you're not going to get a whole lot more fruitive than that, right? Because fruitive means you want some facility or position within the material world, right? You know, you want some money or a nice facility or some land or position or some authority or like that. So then how would you view the position that you want a kingdom bigger than your father's, and your father's the king of the universe? You know? So then that means you want, that includes everything. So you're not going to get a lot more fruitive than Dhruva Maharaj, right? You know, so that's, I say, then we see is that by following the order of the spiritual master without committing offense, then he moved forward very nicely, and then he took up pure devotional service. He gave up that position. So it's very... That's the perfect thing. If there's that some of that sincerity and seriousness, then all these other problems will be rectified. They'll be reconciled. They will go away because Krishna is so attractive that all these other things won't make, they don't have much meaning or importance. Does that make sense? Because they're not natural to the living entity.
Maharaj, can I ask?
As long as it's on the topic, if it's going to be some issue about how you talk to this one and that one, and they have something to say that completely contradicts everything we said here, if it's one of those questions, then no.
No.
About, you know what I'm saying? Because otherwise you distract the whole class. But if you can ask a question exactly on, I'm only saying this because the last time you asked a question, it just threw off the whole class. It means you know the answer. It's no. So why do you have to bring it up? Oh, these people said this and that and so many things. They were advanced. They were senior. You know, why do you have just say two devotees were saying this? You know, is that all right? No. No, but they were advanced. They were senior. What am I supposed to think? You know, so why bring it into that whole social, you know, emotional, sentimental, and then just disturb the class? Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Sorry for that.
Yeah. Okay, so now you ask.
Maharaj, about this ulterior motives, some of the ulterior motives are obviously we are able to detect and work on it and live that, but some of the things are very subtle and we are not even able to identify. And that's why our devotional life, full surrender becomes difficult. So how do we identify those things which are not so obviously able to catch and rectify?
Means the point is what you're not aware of, you don't have to focus on. Right? What you are aware of, work with that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You work with what you're aware of. And then as time when it goes and you become purified, then you'll start to become aware of things that before you weren't aware of. And now you deal with those.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's why Krishna says he'll give the intelligence. That was the whole point before. Those who are constantly devoted to serving with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So he'll show. Just like, let's say a child is walking. Okay, they're starting to learn to walk. What's the main thing? What are they focused on? Putting one foot in front of the other quick enough that they don't fall on their face. Right? You know, and sometimes they do it a little too quickly and they fall on their bum, but, you know, Krishna's made them so that they, how you say, they're designed so they can fall on their bum and they're good. Right? But fall on their face, they always end up crying. Right? So that's there. Now, how they're steady, how they don't knock things over, that will come up as you go, but they first just go on that they're walking. Parents will just look at they did that they careened all over the house and all that. They can't walk in a straight line. No one's going, wow, this kid can't walk in a straight line. This is an idiot, you know? They're not going to say that. But now once they start to walk, then you're going to start to tell them, not too fast, not too slow, this and that. You know, they're walking too slow. Speed up. Oh, they're running around. No, slow down. Oh, you're not careful. You're knocking things over. Be careful. Then they become more aware. So you focus on what you are able to focus on and what you're able to be aware of. That's what you look at. But then if you see Krishna gives indication from things that you hear, things that you read, things that you see others doing, someone saying something to you, you know, yes. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You know, like that. So then, you know, it's just like, let's say someone's focused on taking a bath nicely and, you know, being clean for Krishna. You know, and like that, but then, you know, they have some program or something. So someone points out to them, you know, maybe they could be quicker than 3 hours to get ready from when they get up to when they're ready to walk out the door. So then they can start to look at how to speed up. But before that, they were looking how to very nicely be clean for Krishna. And so then it's nice and Krishna is satisfied with how clean you are. But now you have to speed it up. Does that make sense? So one thing at a time.
Yes.
But at the same time is, you know, we should be sincere. So as it is sped up by Krishna, whether, you know, Krishna, you know, from inside reveals it or from outside reveals it, you know, like that. Is that all right?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, did from Jugal Preeti's camp, did they want to say something? No? I saw the mic on.
I think I just forgot to unmute.
Oh, okay. Okay, so these five items. So even you don't have faith in them, you don't know about them, it'll work. You know, like someone comes to the temple, they don't know about the chanting and have faith in it, but they engage in it, they will advance. Like that. Okay. Devotional service is so strong that when one engages in it, he gradually gives up all material desires and becomes fully attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. All this is brought about by attraction for the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Quote, whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcefully gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. 53. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 5:19-27. So Krishna takes care, but he'll fulfill it when he thinks it's the proper time. Right? The demigods, there people go to the demigods because you worship them now, then if you have the karma, you'll get it now. Right, but it has to be sanctioned by Krishna, but still, it's just business. But then when you have a Krishna, you may ask him for something, but Krishna is going to see, one is that he gives that, it's not going to take the devotee away from him or from his service, and two, that it will be such that he won't keep asking and asking and asking. Does that make sense? You know, so therefore, we'll many times see is that Krishna will arrange something, and then it will you'll gain it at a time when you see that it's not as important as you thought it was. you know, right at the moment you had it there, you're in the mood and everything like that, but it comes at another time and you see you can get by without it. And so therefore now you have it, but you're not using it. And so Krishna is very clever that way on how to find situations so that you can be engaged in his service. So that's the point. He's such a, his point is he simply wants to bring the devotees closer and closer to him. So he's going to find the best way to do that. Does that make sense? You know, so like that it goes, you know, so like, yeah. And then by seeing that, you're not going to ask for something again. Because you see, it wasn't as important as you thought, so you don't keep asking. Like that.
So
224.
Yeah. You can say that Krishna is the best educator.
Yes, he's the best educator. Yes, he's the best. Because the point is that he's bringing you closer to him. Since education means to come closer to him, he works in such a way that it brings you closer to him. So he's very effective that way. You know, it's just like I remember once I had a particular, I think, musical instrument, but I thought if I had a different one, then I would really apply myself and, you know, everything would go perfect and all that. And I'm thinking like that for months and months until I got it. When I got the instrument, I found out it's exactly the same as the last one. You have to put in effort. It's not magical that just because you have it, now your everything is working nicely. You know, then you figure out is, no, the same effort is there. It's just maybe different, but it's still the same position that you have to focus, find time, and put in your effort. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it works. It's like you have one pair of carpals, you have another pair of carpals. It's the same thing. You have to hit them together.
Yes.
You know, like that. And so then you see, it's Krishna is very expert in figuring out how to remove our material desire, and gradually we become more and more absorbed in him. You know, that's just like you said. He's the best teacher. And then those who represent him, you know, we see the acharyas, then they are, you know, the best also, because they're following that mood of Krishna. And it's always about bringing it closer to Krishna. That's what makes it perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
224, 200 to 202. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Another meaning of the word Atma is one's characteristic nature. Whoever enjoys his particular type of nature is called Atmarama. That means you have a particular nature, you enjoy that. Therefore, all living entities, be they moving or non-moving, are also called Atmarama. So we've gone that you have the 18 different kinds of Atmaramas, or 19 by your using of the words of those absorbed in some way in Brahman or something, or in through yoga, you know, the ones in yoga, the six in yoga, then those who are looking for liberation and absorption like this. So you have all these different groups that you would take. Then he shows there's the Paramahamsas, and then there's the fools, right? And then fools means those who don't know what's actually good for them, or this or that. So then you have the top and the bottom. Then he's showing then in between, and also throw in the birds and the bees, right? So maybe that's why you always put the birds and the bees. So Atma. So when you say, yes, now it's time to teach our child about the birds and the bees. Actually, the original was, now it's time to teach them about Atma, Jnan, about knowledge of the self and how to, you know, advance in that. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. And so therefore, one who's... In other words, Atma is one's characteristic name. Therefore, all living entities, be they moving or number, are also Atmarama, right? Because they all have that position. The original nature of every living entity is to consider himself the eternal servant of Krishna. But on the influence of Maya, he thinks himself to be the body. And thus his original consciousness is covered. In that case, by the word cha, the word eva is meant. The word api can be taken in the sense of aggregation. Thus, the verse would also read Atmarama Eva, that is, even all kinds of living beings worship Krishna. So that means now everybody in between, So basically, Lord Chaitanya is showing that this verse is showing that every living entity, in the association of devotees, hearing and chanting about Krishna, they can all come to the perfectional platform. Like that. So it has much more meaning than, Srila Prabhupada. It is here mentioned that every living entity is Atmarama. Temporarily covered by the influence of Maya, the living entity serves the senses, which are represented as Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarja, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. In the material condition, all living entities are engaged in sense gratification. But when they associate with devotees who follow the regulative principles, they become purified and awaken to their original consciousness. They then attempt to satisfy the senses of the Lord, Krishna, and engage in his devotional service. So we see then again, it comes down to association of devotees. So that's the whole point of ISKCON, is to give a facility for devotees to associate together. And that facility is also for others who aren't, they can also, who are interested, can come together and take part with the devotees in all these activities of devotional service. Yeah. 204, 203, 205. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Living entities include great personalities. Living entities include great personalities like the four Kumaras, and also low-class foolish people, trees, plants, birds, and beasts. The devotional service of Vyas, Sukha, and the four Kumaras has already been well celebrated. Now let me explain how immovable living entities like trees and plants engage in the Lord's devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. Oh, wait a minute. Everyone is eligible to receive Krishna's mercy, including Vyasadeva, the four Kumaras, Sukadeva Goswami, low-born creatures, trees, plants, and beasts. By Krishna's mercy, they are elevated and engaged in his service. Srila Prabhupada. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, wherein the Lord says, Mam hi parta vipasuritya ye pi shu papa yonayaha. Striyo vaishyas tata shudras te pi yanti param gatim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, and shudras, workers, birds, hills, water. I'm not sure what this water can means. Attain the supreme destination. Birds, hills, and the watering can. And that's really nice to know. That means all those, you know, nice old ladies who have the nice water can that they do all their plants with. So not only can the plants, but the water can itself can. Yeah. Everyone is eligible to become Krishna's devotee. One simply has to be trained according to the approved process, right? So trained according to the approved process, not just, no, whatever we feel like, and no, you can't do that. And, oh, that's being fanatic. Or, you know, before, yes, you could do that, but times have changed now. You can't do these things anymore. No, it's the approved process. It is the work of Krishna's confidential devotees to turn everyone into a Krishna Bhakta. If the confidential devotees do not take up the task of elevating everyone to Krishna consciousness, then who will do it? Those who claim to be devotees but do not engage in Krishna service to elevate all living creatures. Okay, do we have a host? Anyone is our host? No? Haladhar Nitai, you're not the host. Who's the host?
No, Maharaj. I think nobody is host.
Nobody's host.
Nobody is the host, Maharaj.
Okay, but is there some way to turn off somebody's microphone mechanically? I thought the host can do that.
Yeah, only host can. I have sent message to that Mataji, but I don't think so. She has read.
No, she's probably off somewhere. Because I know before is they used to turn them off. They can turn them off. Oh, well. Means we only have 1 minute left anyway, so. Everyone is eligible to become Krishna's devotee. One simply has to be trained according to the approved process. It is the work of Krishna's confidential devotees to turn everyone into a Krishna bhakta. If the confidential devotees do not take up the task of elevating everyone to Krishna consciousness, then who will do it? Those who claim to be devotees but do not engage in Krishna service to elevate all living creatures to Krishna consciousness are to be considered Kanishtha Adhikaris, people in the lowest stage of devotional service. When one rises to the second platform of devotional service, his business is to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. Those who are active in the Krishna consciousness movement should not remain in the neophyte stage, but should rise up to the platform of preachers, the second platform of devotional service. Devotional service is so enchanting that even the first class devotees, Uttamadhikaris, also come down to the second platform to preach and render service to the Lord for the benefit of the whole world. So that's why that Madhyama platform is recommended. The neophytes try to come to that platform and they're engaging themselves in activities of the Madhyama platform by preaching and doing those activities. And we see the Uttamadhikaris, even though they're above, they come down to that platform to take part in the preaching. That's why it said it's so enchanting, like that. And so in that way, then everybody is engaged on that platform of preaching from that Madhyama platform, like that. So then, you know, that's the point that's theirs. Everybody can be engaged in the Lord's service. Like that. So then here the Atmarama is now catching everybody. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shula Prabhupada ki jai.